They know that I don't like last minute add-ons. So what do I get? Driving down the street about a block away, the Lord gives me a last minute add-on. He's always trying to do something like that for me. Or against me, I don't know. But anyway, the Lord would say unto us tonight, I'm calling my church into a deeper, deeper worship. Worship like you've never been in before. A deeper level of intimacy with me. And I'm also calling you as the army of God into battle. You face the fiercest battle that you've ever seen in mankind on the face of the earth before. So I'm calling up everyone in the army of God to active service, active duty. You walk in my power, with my authority, and you will not fail. But as you go into deeper and deeper worship with me, deeper intimacy with me, that's where the battles are won. That's where you will win. That's where you will overcome anything the enemy has. Holy Spirit, open our spirit ears to hear you and to be sensitive to your every whisper. Holy Spirit, open our spirit eyes to see your direction for us. Open all of our spirit senses to prepare us for your working right here in the midst of us in a new and different way. That seems to be rattling a little bit on there. I can hear it. Oh, hallelujah. The spirit winds are beginning to blow again. The Lord is saying, I am sheltering you within my divine protection. Breakthrough is being loosed upon my people. You will experience a new rest and ease within my manifest presence. My word is your lamp and your voice, and is loosened to the light, in the light of my presence. As you lift me up, so shall I lift you up. As you draw unto me, so shall I draw unto you. If you have been apart from me, return to me, and I will return to you. Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. I believe in this hour of the church, God is calling us into a new and stronger intimacy with him. I believe a new season is on this church. As Solomon said, to everything there is a season, and to every time and for every matter or purpose under heaven. We could very well be living in the last generation, the last season before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we keep hold of and any new ground that we acquire will have to be taken by forceful violence in the spirit realm by the members of the army of God. Charles Spurgeon spoke these words generations ago, but it's like a fresh word for us in this season that we live today. He said, war will always be raging between the two great sovereignties until one is crushed. Peace between good and evil is impossible. The archangel Michael will always fight with all he has. Jesus will always be the dragon's enemy, actively and vigorously, with full determination to exterminate evil. All the servants of the Lord, whether angels or messengers on the earth, will and must fight. They are born to be warriors. At the cross, they were bound to never make truce with evil. They are an army firm in defiance, fierce in attack. The duty of every soldier in the army of the Lord is daily, with all his heart and soul and strength, to fight against the dragon. The dragon and his angels will not back down. They are constant in their attack, and they will spare no weapon. We are foolish to expect to serve God without opposition. The more enthusiastic we become, the more we are sure to meet a stronger attack. If the church becomes lazy, our enemies will not retreat. War rages all around us, and to think of peace is useless. But glory to God, we know the end of the war. The great dragon shall be cast down and out forever and be destroyed, while Jesus and they that are with him shall receive the crown. So let us sharpen our swords, and may the Holy Spirit give strength to our arms for battle. Never has there been a battle so important, never a crown so glorious. Every man to his assignment, O warriors of the cross, and may the Lord destroy Satan under his feet very soon. He who is the faithful witness to all these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It seems to me like things are getting worse. Our cultural decline is happening at warp speed. The last couple of generations of Americans, the enemy has infiltrated into our media, our public education system, big business, the court system, judges. Every area of our society has taken on the work of the enemy. Our lifestyle is seemingly no different than the secular world. There should be a definite difference, plainly seen, between Christians and the world. The way we speak, the way we dress, the way we live in a different atmosphere that should be clearly recognizable wherever we are. And just like Charles Spurgeon spoke, we as Christians are called, yes, even born to be warriors, to enter into this battle actively and vigorously, with full determination to exterminate evil and spare no weapon. We are, as Christians, members of the army of God, called to possess and secure and protect our inheritance. We must learn why it is imperative that we fight and overturn the plans of the enemy. God has given us spiritual weapons to believers to war against the kingdom of darkness. And we don't fight alone. All the resources of heaven are available and are at our disposal. These weapons are not human in nature, but they are supernatural and give us complete ability to overthrow the enemy that is hindering us and hindering our progress to victory. The entire weight of heaven is released on our behalf. Untold numbers of angels have been released to each one of us as heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1:7 says, "And concerning the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministering servants flames of fire to do his bidding?" Who is going to stand up against flames of fire? Not the devil, not me, not anybody. Fuego! The entire arsenal of heaven's might, mighty weapons have been released on our behalf. And we are led by the Lord Almighty Himself. The Lord of armies, Yahweh, Sabaoth. There are times when the scripture speaks of the Lord of hosts leading a great army. Cherubim, seraphim, sun and moon, stars and sky, rivers and mountains, hail and snow, men and women, animals, wild and tame. All these worship the Lord and are at times called to fight on His behalf. We serve a God of unimaginable power. Yahweh, Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies, able to do more than we can think or imagine. Luke chapter 10, the Lord sent out the 70, just as He is sending out us, all of us, today. He is sending us to every city, every country, everywhere that people are on the earth. And He has given us authority to tread on serpents, scorpions, and all the power of the enemy. He has said, "Nothing will injure you." And when the 70 returned, they were just full of joy and gladness. They said that even the demons are subject to us in your name. The Great Commission in Mark 16, 15 through 18 describes this in even greater detail. He said to them, and all of us now, "Go into the world, preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has not, who has disbelieved shall be condemned." These signs will accompany those who believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and they will drink any deadly poison, and it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. This leaves nothing out. This leaves nowhere out. In issuing the Great Commission, Jesus said to His followers, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on the earth." All authority. This means that if Jesus has all authority, the enemy has none. The enemy only has what we allow him to have, what we give him. So stop it. Don't allow the enemy to have any authority. Jesus has it all. And at that moment, Jesus imparted that authority to the church. That's you and I. He has imparted that to us. And as He now assumes that place of supreme authority, He has delegated that authority to His people, the church. In His name, the name of Jesus, that is infinitely greater than anything of the enemy. As His children, we represent Him as His commissioned agents. We are His diplomatic agents, invested with full power to transact any business for the One who sent us. This is exactly who we are. Delegated representatives of the Most High God, sent out with unlimited power to transact any business that we have been entrusted with. We form an army of believers that is literally unstoppable. Do you believe that? Good. The things that Jesus performed on the earth, he has told us that we can even do greater things. I don't exactly know what that means entirely. But as I read through the things that Jesus did on the earth, I don't ever remember him flying from one point on the earth to another in a single day. We can do that on an airplane. Or preaching to a million people at a time in one place. Or communicating with millions of people around the world in an instant. Certainly these things are greater things. Possibly the reason for this is that Jesus had physical limitations. Yes, he was fully God, but he also was fully human. So when he ascended into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to us to live with us and within us. Now, Jesus can operate through the Spirit in a completely unhindered way. Through us, unhindered. I believe in this hour of the church, there will be greater things done that we have yet to even imagine. Today, in our time and season, we as Christian believers gather together in agreement and unity across the earth. We have the complete ability to accomplish anything. For certainly, anything is possible with God. With God. All we have to do is open up our mouths in the name of Jesus, and it will be done. It has already been done. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus has given us the use of his powerful name. And in that name is the solution to every problem. In his name is the answer to every question. In his name, he wins every battle, calms every fear, seals every prayer. And in that name, every sin is washed away. Isaiah 54:17 promises this. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. That's a promise. I am convinced that if we daily choose to agree with God's word, all our adversaries and all our adversities will be continually defeated, and we will enjoy victory. There are several ways that God has given us to battle our enemy. With the word of God, we can speak it, we can proclaim it, order it, ask and petition it, even command it and decree it. As a matter of fact, decreeing the word or commanding it by degree is the same thing as making a formal or authoritative order, especially one having the force of law, spiritual law. When something is decreed, it is decided. I'm going to repeat that because it's pretty important. You don't hear that too much in sermons, but more and more when people are decreeing something. Decreeing the word or commanding it by decree is the same as making a formal or authoritative order, especially one having force of law, spiritual law. When something is decreed, it is decided. When we operate at this level of authority and power, we bring the manifestation and the demonstration of the power of God right into our personal lives. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he sent them out to demonstrate healing, demonstrate the power over demons. He didn't tell them to ask. He gave them the power to command over any works of the devil. Prayer is always the most common thing that we think of when we enter into communication with our Creator. Everything starts with prayer. This is something that I've never been too confident in myself. I'm not very good at communicating. I'm an extreme introvert. And I've often said about myself, I have the eloquence of a barking dog. But I know this, God hears and recognizes and acknowledges every prayer that is spoken. From the most intelligent, well-structured prayer to even the weakest, simplest prayer. Here's a story about my youth. When I was a very young child, every Sunday after church, my family and I, cousins, my sister, my parents, my aunts and uncles, we all went down to a place called Bishop's Buffet. Right on First Avenue. If you're very old, you know where that was at. If you ain't, you don't know it. Bishop's Buffet. Right on the southeast side there, not too far from the railroad tracks. Right on First Avenue. Well, one Sunday after enjoying our meal, we were all walking back to the cars. And suddenly, my grandmother collapsed on the street. Well, naturally, we were all very worried about her condition, and we wanted to rush her to the hospital, which was only a few blocks away. And this was a woman that was very frail. I can't ever remember her weighing more than about 80 pounds. Well, she didn't want to go to the hospital. She said, "No, I think I'm going to die, and I want to go home." So she was taken back to her home, and everybody went into the house with her except me. I was left alone to sit in the car with my uncle. I don't think my parents wanted me to witness her death if she should die. So as I sat quietly in the car with my uncle, I can remember being very concerned and even fearful for my grandmother. My beloved grandmother. I can also remember praying for her. Praying for her in my own simple way. That was probably the first time I ever prayed, and I don't know what words I said, or even if it was loud or quiet. But I do know it was the simplest prayer of a very young child. And as weak and simple as that prayer was, God heard and acknowledged that prayer. And my grandmother lived for years and years after that, old enough to see two of my children born. Praise the living God. I don't think we realize the power and creativity of our words. Our words can produce life or death, bring healing or destruction, direct our steps, keep us from troubles, deliver us from evil, or preserve our lives and bring knowledge and wisdom. There is no limit to the power of our tongue. Job 22:28 says, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When you pray to him, he will hear you and fulfill all of your vows. His promises success in whatever we choose to do. Well, this year, in April, Carolyn and I traveled to the Philippines on a missions trip. While we were there, we had an opportunity to visit several churches and several ministries. Each location had its standout moments. And I told you about one of them already. We went into that village and preached the gospel, and the entire village came to Christ. We as a church are building a church as we speak right there. But this particular church brought something to us that we had never experienced before. At the end of the worship, one of the leaders stood up and began to make powerful declarations for the church and then for the nation. And I also note that the worship was incredible in that church. The drummer, they all have simple instruments. I seen a bass guitar there that was just ancient. I don't know how the thing played, but they make use of everything they got to the fullest. And the drummer was in full worship mode. I never seen anybody drum like that before. He only had three or four drums, but that guy worshiped with those drums. It was incredible. And like I say, at the end of the worship, one of the leaders stood up and began to make powerful declarations for the church and then for the nation. I'd like to make these same declarations now for our church and nation. We've changed the words slightly to fit the church locally and in America and our nation. I believe that if we make these declarations before in unity, it shall be done. And I think we're putting them up on the screen, maybe. But we can make these declarations together if they go up on the screen. Or you can just speak them along with me, if you could. Declaration for the church. We decree and declare that his church will become one, brought to complete unity in Christ as the Father and the Son are one. We decree and declare that his church will live in purity, holiness, humility, and walk as Christ walked on the earth. We decree and declare that his church will reach its maturity in Christ and will receive great and new revelations from him. We decree and declare that his church will experience the great power of the age to come and walk with authority in Christ. We decree and declare that his church must take part in the great harvest by reaching the world with his love. Declaration for the nation. We decree and declare that all of the prophecies that have been released, uttered, and prophesied over the United States of America will be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. That the United States of America is a blessed nation. The United States of America is the breadbasket of the world. That the United States of America is the spiritual Israel of the Western Hemisphere. That the United States of America is a missionary sending nation. That the United States of America is the head and not the tail. That the United States of America is a sheep nation. That all the nation's treasures and resources will be discovered and utilized for the welfare of the citizens of the United States, and that God will raise up inventors in the United States of America. We decree and declare that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit reign upon our nation. We decree and declare the rebuilding of what was ruined and destroyed. We decree and declare restoration of what was lost. We decree and declare the riches and inheritance be upon our nation and be experienced by every citizen of the United States. We decree and declare the United States of America will be like Goshen in the time of Moses, wherein we will be spared and protected from plagues, calamities, disasters, and even from persecution and judgment. We decree and declare that our land and crops will be blessed with sunshine and rain in due season. We decree and declare spiritual breakthrough, favor, and righteousness in the eight pillars of society. Those are family, church, government, business and economy, education, science and technology, media, sports and culture. We decree and declare that Islam will never rule this nation or any part of it. We decree and declare that our land will be cleansed from bloodstain. We decree and declare that the United States of America is a friend and supporter of Israel. And we declare and decree that the government of God to be established all over the United States of America, and that Jesus rules and reigns over Iowa, Linn County, and the greater Cedar Rapids area. Praise the living God. Just as Charles Spurgeon said, we are born to be warriors, but we were created to worship. And as we exercise our God-given authority in prayer and pass through the torn veil into the manifest presence of our God to worship Him at the highest level of worship and intimacy, He will bring complete victory in all areas of our lives. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
This King of Kings. the sound of the coming king. People walking around with their fingers in their ears singing da da da. I don't want to hear the sound of the coming king. But he says, well, I have held my peace for a long, 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 long time. And in my silence you thought that I was all together like you. And in your heart you were settled in complacency. You said he won't even respond. You said he's not interested. You said
song before, but let me tell you, it's a song of war, right? That's a song of war. I love the perspective that God gave me when I was there. You know, often in churches, sanctuaries, we hear worship, we hear kind and sweet and loving things, but we forget he's coming on a horse with fire in his eyes, a sword in his hand, right? He's coming to slay, destroy, kill, cut apart, just to send things in the pit of fire. He's coming to destroy evil, right? He's not this pretty Jesus baby basket, precious little hippie, right? This is the warrior of warriors, the king of kings. He is the Lamb of God, but he is also the Lion of Judah. One of these days, he's coming back and he's making war like we have never seen before. The world has never seen before. That was intense. I'm not going to lie, there's no way I thought that's what song you were going to choose. There are millions chances I would have never guessed that. Not one time. But that was awesome. That was good, man. The words were powerful. At first, I was like, what is going on? What is she talking about? And then she starts singing. I'm like, oh, she's anointed. Oh, she's going to just proclaim some stuff right now. Amen? There's power. Dave, you preached, you taught, but you mostly prophesied and proclaimed. And I appreciate that about what you did tonight. That was a good word, right? It was like my wife said, amen? It's like drinking from a fire hose. I didn't even take notes. There's no way I could catch up. I was like, I'm five lines behind. I got to listen to this. If I'm worried about that, I'm going to miss everything else. I can't write fast enough. That was awesome. Amen. What it reminds me is this. You know, the Bible says, and he said it too, is there's power in the tongue. To build up, to tear down, to give life, to kill life, to destroy, to build. There's power in the tongue. And we're called not just to be nice Christians, right? It never says that in the Bible. We're supposed to be nice, dancing through the daisies Christians. Like you said, Dave, we are warriors. We're created to worship, but we were born to be warriors. Is that what Spurgeon said? That's truth, right? How can you do both? Well, because we're more than just physical. That's how we do both, right? Time to make war, church, make war. Not like the world makes war. If you're gonna go out just yelling at people and stand in the corner saying, turn or burn, that's how the world does it, right? Y'all just a bunch of sinners and you're all going to, no. That's not what Jesus came for. You make war on your knees. You make war stepping up in positions and places and speaking up when you're supposed to be speaking up and saying silent when you're supposed to be silent. You're proclaiming, you're reading God's word, and it's supposed to be hidden in your heart. So when you're faced with a situation, you speak God's word and not your own, and you speak life as opposed to opinion. Amen? So I want us to do something tonight. We're going to worship. We'll sing one last song, maybe, whatever you feel led. Can you do that exact psalm, actually? Go ahead. Can you just get in the drums back there and, yeah, think about it, maybe? You guys need, like, maracas or something? I don't know how to replay that. But, you know, you do whatever you feel led to do. But I want us to do something different, okay? And let me give you a quick, easy lesson about what he did tonight. About proclaiming, prophesying. We think you need to be a prophet to prophesy. Absolutely not. It actually says all of us are called. Every believer is called to prophesy. It's in God's word. You can prophesy. What is prophecy? Speaking to things as if they should be, not as they are. What does that mean? That means you speak life into that situation. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know where you're at. Some of you, I know your personal situations. I do, some of them. But I don't know exactly what you're facing now, but God does. And you know what he wants? He wants you to proclaim truth. He wants you to proclaim freedom. He wants you to proclaim that thing is under the feet, right, of us. And that the blood of Jesus was enough, that the cross was enough, that the empty grave was enough, and that you can speak God's word, which is sharper than a double-edged sword. And God wants us to do that. So we need to prophesy and proclaim. Okay? I'm going to invite you to stand with me, please. So whatever it is that is upon your mind right now, speak to that. You're like, oh man, I don't know really what to do. Okay, somebody give me an example. Okay, can I use your mom as an example? His mom is very feeble, very weak, older. She's hard to get here. She's facing a lot of stuff, right? And so Bob could say, you know what, Lord? I thank you for my mom. I thank you for her life. I speak life to her body, to her situation. I speak life from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. I pray that God, or Jesus, if you can renew our spirits to live with you forever, you can renew our bodies. God, if I trust you with my everlasting life, I can trust you with this one now, and I trust you with my mom. I pray life upon her. I pray strength upon her bones, whatever sickness or whatever things she's facing. I speak that right now there's going to be life in her body. I pray if wherever she wants to go, whatever she wants to do, she's not afraid. She's not going to fall in this winter. She's going to be protected. Places she's going to go, she's going to want to go. And she's going to show up to church whenever she wants. I pray for our relationship, my mama and me. I pray for our relationship to grow, me and my brother. I pray for our relationship to grow in your name, God. Give me words when I need to speak. Make me silent when I should be silent. But most of all, make me like you, Jesus, so I can speak. I speak life to this, and Holy Spirit, I invite you now into these situations. Thank you for what you're doing, right? Just speak life. Speak life. Amen? Amen. So whatever it is that you're facing right now for the next 2 to 5 minutes, you worship, unless you want to speak, sing in your language, whatever you want, whatever you just be led right now. Just do what God says. And you out here, everybody, speak to your situation right now. And I'm going to come up in just a moment and I'm going to close. But right now, let's proclaim what we did even this evening when we were reading from up there. Amen.